Hello, hello, hello. Welcome everyone to the second episode of Later Days. Once again, I'm your host, Sean Bisht, and today we'll be tackling a pretty unique topic that I'm sure that everybody can relate to. It is sequels. Sequels, sequels, sequels. Sequel, not the coding language, but multiple movies in a franchise, right? We're talking prequels, we're talking spin-offs, we're talking extended cuts, we're talking director's cuts. There's really a lot of ways to add stuff to movies nowadays, or to video games, but mostly movies. And it's always been interesting to me, like how do people come up with the ideas for sequels? You know, I guess money is one thing, right? It's pretty obvious. Whenever you are a multi-million dollar or billion dollar movie studio, you have to fill the coffers somehow. So you take your IPs, you give them a nice marketable budget, and you get the best and the brightest cast and crew together. You make the film, and if it's successful, you go ahead and you sequelize the hell out of it. We've seen that in plenty different franchises, right? We're talking comic book films, superhero films, even some of the most obscure, or not obscure, but some of the most left field examples are getting sequels nowadays. I'm not sure of how many of you guys have seen the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's a Quentin Tarantino movie that came out in 2019. And no spoilers really, but the movie ends on a pretty definitive note. And it won a couple of Oscars, it won a couple of, you know, lots of awards, and it grossed pretty well at the box office. I think it grossed like around $397 million worldwide. So not bad for a 3-hour Quentin Tarantino movie. And surprisingly, it's getting a sequel. It's getting a theatrical sequel sometime, I believe, this year or next year. And it will focus on one of the characters who survives by the end of the film. And it's always interesting to hear about these kind of films getting sequels, because it's like, well, how can you do that? I mean, it's nothing wrong. Like, again, that's not the point. The point of this episode is not to criticize sequels. I mean, some of my favorite films are sequels. You know, I would say right off the top of my head, like Tron Legacy is a huge sequel of mine. The Bourne Ultimatum, The Bourne Supremacy are sequels to The Bourne Identity. Really love those. John Wick 2, John Wick Chapter 2, I think is probably one of the best sequels I've seen ever. And it's wildly entertaining every time I watch it. So I definitely don't have anything against sequels, but I'm always interested in what prompts, you know, a sequel to be made. And really, you know, the discussion for today, it's really not going to be too critical, really. It's just more like an exploration of like what goes into it, right? Like, so like I said, right, money is a factor, right? I mean, you make a movie and it grosses $400 million worldwide, and you're like, wow, we need to make more of those, please. You know, and that's just for the adult R-rated drama crowd. You know, we have films like The Incredibles, we have films like Kung Fu Panda, How to Train Your Dragon. It's technically not a sequel, but it's a remake of a franchise that is no doubt going to get a sequel of its own. And it's still doing monster money at the box office. I think it was like $600, $800 million, you know? So there are a lot of properties that are ripe for sequels. And it's always interesting how the non-IP related films get sequelized. And it's very difficult, right? I mean, not difficult. It's very, not complicated even. It's just interesting, right? So like I mentioned, like The Adventures of Cliff Booth is the sequel to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and it's coming around 6 years later, right? So pretty tight turnaround for a film that was mostly considered an adult drama. Now you look at films like Mad Max Fury Road, right? So Mad Max Fury Road came out in 2015. The original trilogy of Mad Max films came out in, off the top of my head, the 70s or 80s. So it was a considerable longer wait of time, right? And at the end of the day, you know, the movie got made, but it did take a really, really, really long time. Not that there not because there was no interest, but because the technology was simply not advanced enough for the movie to be made the way George Miller wanted it to be made. So it's always interesting, like I said, the factors that go into that. And the thing about sequels in general, it's like you never know what's going to happen, right? And an audience, a particular audience will be very passionate about a film and it will get the leverage it needs to get made. A director will pick up the script sometimes and say, you know what, this is a film that has inspired me for a long time, and let me go ahead and make a sequel that's really worth it. I think that would be a case for Blade Runner 2049. Denis Villeneuve, I cannot pronounce his last name. He is a very innovative visual storyteller, and I think what he did with the film, I haven't seen the film, so I'm not going to pretend to be one of those people who have seen the film or who have not seen the film and will say, oh, I've seen the film. I have not, admittedly. I do want to, though. I've heard very good reviews, and some of the scenes I've seen are pretty spectacular, but it's very clear that even though he was not the original director of the movie, his sequel is not a typical sequel. It for one thing actually did not, unfortunately, did not gross a lot at the box office. I think it mostly did well enough to cover its budget, but in the world of Hollywood, there are so many hidden fees. But the other thing that the movie did very interestingly was it gave a natural next step for the film itself. It did not waste the story on like a typical adventure. It showed what the original characters, what they were up to, but it also introduced a whole cast of new characters. So it was really more of like a continuation of the world rather than the character. And that's why I say that sequels are always interesting, and because you never know what is going to be concentrated on. I'm not including stuff about spin-offs because that's kind of different, but it's like you never know what movies are going to get sequels, and that's what makes it a very interesting type of movie. They can be both commercial, they can also be a little bit of an artsy film. It's really hard to choose a direction, right? And it's really hard to decide what the audience wants. I think some really good examples of sequels that not many people were expecting, or at least one people were not expecting, is a couple of movies at the theater. One has been at the theater for around a week, and one is going to be arriving. I think it's already in theaters right now. So the one that's arriving this weekend is Nobody 2. It is written by Derek Kolstad, who some of you may know is the are the he's the writer for the John Wick franchise up until the third movie. And it's also it's produced by the same co-director David Leitch, who co-directed John Wick 1. So Nobody 2 is coming out this weekend in the box at the box office. And then the other sequel that's been out for a while is The Bad Guys 2, which is a sequel to The Bad Guys, which came out in 2022. Both films could be, I think they're on completely different extremes. The Bad Guys 2 is an animated kids film about anthropomorphic animals who essentially are the world's biggest gang of criminals. And they decide to go straight, or they try to go straight. And the movie, I believe, is about how they attempt and then they have to go back to what they do know best. The other sequel, Nobody 2, is much more interesting. So Nobody 2 is, think of it, I don't know, if you guys have seen John Wick, you guys will get the idea of like what kind of like action and what kind of tone the film will have, albeit with a little bit more humor. It's much more lighter than John Wick. Nobody is. And if you haven't seen John Wick, then I would highly recommend you do. Most likely, I'll be making a lot of references to that franchise. But yeah, Nobody's essentially a funnier, over-the-top version of John Wick. And it was produced on a budget of $16 million, but it ended up grossing around $56 million, which It's not like big in terms of like, oh yeah, it's like a huge box office success, but this is on the heels of COVID-19. This came out like 2021 when theaters were just opening again. So clearly the audience has found it to be very the audience has found it to be very interesting. And the funnier thing is that when I myself like watched the movie, it was like, oh cool, you know, it's one of those films that, you know, ends on a will they, won't they kind of theme or scene where basically like you see characters and they talk and they're like, oh well, you never know, this could happen. And then you're like, okay, cool, we can just imagine it. And I was pretty surprised when I think this year they just dropped the trailer for the sequel, which of course I was like super excited. And I was like, oh wow, like I wonder what the plot is now this time, you know, because I think whenever we watch sequels, it's what is the point, what is the purpose, if you will, of the film. And I think that's kind of what I want to leave this episode on for you guys, is with sequels are kind of memed upon because, you know, everybody, or not everybody, I would say like most people will think that, you know, Hollywood is like, oh, running out of ideas, so we have to make, you know, like what happened with Harry Potter. We got to make that into a franchise. We got to make everything a franchise. And I think I will give a shout out to the show, the studio, created and directed by Seth Rogen and his creative partner, Evan Goldberg. And I think the show does a really good job of kind of showing a satirical take on what it is like to be a Hollywood executive and trying to balance your need to make films versus commercial movies. There's a very funny scene that sticks out where Seth Rogen's character, who's the executive, is like, you know, I want to make films, you know, that's why I came here to be an executive. And his friend, who's also works with him at the same company, is like, dude, are you serious? Like, you're here to make movies, commercial movies, you know? And I think the point is really well depicted and it's talked about a lot with good humor. But that's sometimes the case, right? We see a lot of those kind of films come out and it's like, well, you know, you have to treat all your audiences equally. You know, if there's even the slightest chance that one part of your audience will shell out a ton of money for a movie, then you make sure you make movies for those audiences. And I guess the point of that is to show that sequels are very, they're sometimes very hard to figure out, especially from a financial or a commercial point of view, like whether making a movie is the right move for making money, or is it to satisfy an urge for a director to try something new, you know, consequences be damned. But the most important thing about sequels that I personally think about is that they should have a purpose. Right? I mean, everything we watch, everything we do has a purpose. And I think if we try and strive to understand like what movies we watch or like what content we engage in, like what's the purpose in, you know, engaging in that. I mean, not to sound preachy, I don't want this to be a preachy piece of advice for anybody, but you know, whenever you decide to watch a movie or you decide to play a game or you just, you know, go about your daily life, think about like what kind of purpose you want for the thing that you're watching, right? Like when you're watching a movie, are you just simply watching it to fill time or do you want to find something? Like, are you excited about it, if that makes sense? You know, I think with the advent of streaming, which is a whole other topic for another podcast episode. You know, with the advent of streaming, I feel like for me personally, I like watch movies. Like I would just watch them. I don't even like sometimes I'll have it playing like four movies at a time. And or not at a time, like in a row. But the point is that like, you know, I'll watch it, but I'll be like, eh, you know, I'll just kind of watch it from the corner of my eye. And with sequels, the point that I'm trying to draw back to is, you know, whenever a movie's being made, it's, you know, being worked on for like about a year, maybe 2 years. Thousands of people are working on it, and oftentimes they're used for, you know, commercial reasons to try and get butts in seats. But then other times they may be used to trying to tell a message. So I guess all I want to say to you guys is, whenever you do decide to watch something, what do you think the purpose of the movie is? Or what do you think the whole point of me sitting down for 2 hours of watching this is? I think if we start asking ourselves that way, then we'll probably get even more out of the content we watch, and we'll be able to understand more about the movies we watch and the content we engage in. So, anyway, that about does it. I see that I've once again breached the 16-minute mark, or about to, in the next 30 seconds. This one was more of like a free form episode, really just kind of talking about like what I think about sequels and whatnot. But yeah, no, do let me know what you guys think about this particular type of episode. Probably going to be making more of these in the near future, but I'll try to mix and match with different themes and different ideas of what to talk about for these episodes. But for now, thank you so much for tuning in. Hopefully you have a great rest of your day or night. Depends on what time of the day you're listening to this. But thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to talking with you guys soon. Bye-bye.